We're continuing our series in the book of Acts about the church on a mission. So I ask you now to please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be in the same passage one more time. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. This is a snapshot of the early church. And let me ask the Lord for his help as we look at this passage one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word, and we thank you that it's true. We pray that we would receive this as the true word of God, that we would believe what you've said, that we would live in the light of it. Help us as a local church to model ourselves after this first early church that you created, that you brought together. And we thank you for the example that they are to us. And so we just humbly ask you for your help right now, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. How does it feel to be without a home, like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone? How does it feel to be on your own with no direction home, a complete unknown, like a rolling stone? So, of course, those are the lyrics to the great song by Bob Dylan about somebody who has lost everything, somebody who had ambition for fame and fortune, but everyone betrayed her, and now her education and her money and her connections can't help her, and there's a sense of desperation and despair. Dylan writes, "When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You're invisible now. You've got no secrets to conceal. How does it feel?" And the reason I bring this up is the song asks a great question. When you're on your own and you're disconnected and facing the harsh realities of a brutal world, how does it feel? It's very compelling. It's kind of something that most people can relate to. At least it's on some level we can relate to that. And I want to ask the same question today about the church. The world is still harsh. There is still betrayal and selfishness and violence. But what if now you've been forgiven and you've been placed in a new community with other people who have also been forgiven and you're connected and God is working? How does that feel? What does it feel like to be part of a church? The last few weeks we've been looking at the snapshot of the early church, and we've been talking about what the church was doing. The church was learning from God's word. The church was fellowshipping. They're loving each other. The church was worshiping God together. The church was, man, just like that mission moment we heard about the church in Salta, Argentina. The church was practicing evangelism. They're proclaiming the good news about Jesus to other people. But today I want to talk about what it felt like. What it feel like to be part of the local church. This snapshot is an example for us. Can we model our church after this ideal so that being part of our fellowship feels a lot like this? So let me read the passage once again. I'll start back at verse 41. So those who accepted his message, Peter's message, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is God's word. So I want to talk about, like I said, how it should feel to be part of church. But I need to say up front that feelings aren't everything. As Christians, we shouldn't be driven by emotion, but by what we know to be true, the truth that's revealed in God's word. In some ways, I think we should be mistrustful of emotions. Emotions fluctuate and shift. We shouldn't let emotions dictate our decision making. When you look for a church, the main thing that you should look for is not that you have a certain kind of emotional experience. And the point of a worship service is not to create a certain kind of emotional experience for people. On the other hand, emotions are real, and it's true that people, it feels different to be among different groups of people, right? There's different feelings when you are with a different crowd or a different place. Like we had Thanksgiving on Thursday with a group of friends and family, and I got to tell you, it felt really good to be among these friends and family. It was really encouraging. And in contrast, I can remember having a job where it did not feel so good to go there. I felt like I had to be guarded and alert because there was a coworker who wanted to sabotage my projects, and I was like, oh, it just didn't feel good. And of course, if you visit different churches, if you visited different churches, you get a different feeling, right, with different groups of people. Different communities have their own cultures and atmospheres. There's a feeling. So what did it feel like? What did it feel like? How did it feel to be part of the early church? And what should it feel like to be part of our church now? What kind of feeling do we want our local church to have? So looking at this passage, when someone came to believe that Jesus died for their sins and rose again, and they received from God forgiveness of their sins, and they received from God the Holy Spirit, and they became part of the church community, I think the first, when they were part of this community, the first thing they would have felt would be a sense of belonging. A sense of belonging. They would have felt that they belonged, that they were at home. If you look at verses 44 and 45. So it says the believers were together. They held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. So they were together. They enjoyed spending time together. They held all things in common, it says. They were willing to share with each other. If somebody had a need and somebody else was able to meet that need, he would do it. If somebody needed money and another person had extra, they might, you know, sell something and use that money to help out. So imagine joining the church, and then one morning you're trying to clear the driveway and your snowblower won't work. I'm sure this happened all the time in ancient Israel. And your neighbor who's in your church brings his snowblower over and cleans your driveway so you can get to work on time, you know. Or imagine that you get laid off and people in your small group at church bring you groceries, or someone in your family gets sick and the folks in your church listen to you talk about it and they pray with you. There must have been a feeling in the early church that you were taken care of, like that this group that you are now part of was something like family, like a home, and you were loved. And obviously, like we were talking about, family is a wonderful gift from God. But not everybody, at different times in your life, you might not have family around you. And that was a huge part of being part of the local church, was you were family to each other. In 1 Corinthians, there's this long section about how the local church is to take care of widows. You know, they don't have a husband to take this, a lady that her husband died. She doesn't have someone to take care of her financially even. The local church steps in there and takes care of her. Like, we're family to each other. The scripture says, greet each other with a holy kiss. You don't kiss strangers, right? You kiss your family. And this isn't talking about romantic kissing. This is, this is like, greet each other like family. You're like family to each other, and you feel that your needs are being taken care of. So, and you can think about it from the other side, too. People would come to your church, and they had different needs, and some of them were needs that you could help out with. And you might have some expertise or skill or some time to give somebody a ride, or a few extra dollars, or a listening ear, or a willingness to pray, or some wisdom, or some other way to help somebody out. In other places in the New Testament, there are descriptions of how the Holy Spirit gives each of us, who are believers in Christ, spiritual gifts. So these are God-given abilities to serve the church in unique ways. So to be part of the church, you would have felt taken care of, and you would also have felt needed, like you have a meaningful role in the community. After food and shelter, people have a need for security and a need for significance. We can find security and significance in our families and in our work. This is part of God's created order. These are gifts from God. Of course, though, this is a sinful, broken world, and we're sinful, broken people. And we go looking for security and for significance in all kinds of unhealthy places. Ultimately, we have to find our security and significance in God. The gospel message tells us that God loves us and that he provided for our ultimate need by sending his son for us. And it's interesting to me that once somebody trusts in Christ, God unites him or her to the church, and God provides this new believer security and significance within the church community. There's a sense of belonging in the church family. You're cared for and you're needed. And so the application for us as a local church is that we should strive to care for each other's needs like that, and to affirm each other's significance like that, so that there's a sense of belonging here. When your brother has a need, can you help him out? Do you know your brother well enough to recognize it when he has a need? And when your sister meets someone's need, can you let her know how significant that is, how important she is? And when she doesn't show up, can you tell her how much we miss her? In the local church, there should be a sense of belonging. So we have the sense of belonging in the early church, and there was also a sense of growth. That's the second feeling I want to talk about. The church was growing, and the people in the church were growing spiritually in their relationships with God and with other people, with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And where did this growth come from? What caused it? Well, there's an interesting word that's used in this passage twice. It's the word devoted. And that word devoted, I looked it up in the Greek dictionary. It means busily engaged in something. They're busy doing something. They're devoted to something. Look at verse 42. The early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to fellowship, devoted to breaking bread and prayer. So these people were busy. They were active. They weren't just sitting around. They were striving to learn. They were scheduling times to meet. They were preparing meals. They were enjoying eating food together, breaking donuts together. They were devoted to prayer. They were busily engaged in prayer. So, and look at verse 46. It says, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together. So clearly, they were active also in sharing the good news about Jesus with other people. So part of the reason they were growing in their relationships with the Lord and with each other was that they put a lot of effort into those relationships. And they were a growing church because they were devoted to sharing the good news. But there's another reason that they were growing. Look at verse 47. It said, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. God was working in them, among them. God was working through them. And God is the one who's bringing people to faith in his Son. God is forgiving their sins. God is giving them the Holy Spirit. God is adding them to the church. God is helping people grow in him, you know, transforming our hearts so that we bear the fruit of his Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and the other ones. So the feeling in the church must have been that God was active in their community, so they wanted to be active. They wanted to be participating in what God was doing. It was a feeling of growth, not a laborious growth, a tedious kind of growth that you have to force, but it's more like a garden in the most fruitful season you can imagine, where you do your best to prune and pull weeds and water while God is producing an incredible harvest. And this is a model for our church, too. There should be a sense of growth because God is active and we are actively joining his work. And I confess to you, like, sometimes I feel bad asking people to do things. Like, I know you're busy people. And I'm like, I feel sort of bad saying, will you show up for this one other thing? Will you help out in this one other ministry? Will you do this? Will you do that? You know? But hey, I've got to preach this to myself. Is there anything better to be busy with than God's work? There's not, you know? Like, this is where it's at. So most people are busy, but you might as well be busy here, you know, getting involved in God's work and seeing people grow in him. And on the other hand, you know, I don't want us to feel like it all depends on us. You know, we can't force growth by running ourselves ragged, by overextending ourselves. This is God's work. So what do we need to do? We need to pray. We need to pray and ask God to work and then use the resources and the energy that he's given us for him. It's God's work. He has to do it. And we join in. We're not harried, not frantic, but we're busily engaged. We're active. We're devoted. Hey, and if I may be so bold, I want to speak specifically to the men in our church who have retired from their careers, okay? Do not give all of your retirement to watching TV. Come to prayer meeting on Friday mornings at 9 o'clock. And ask God to show you what people he wants you to be involved with in our church, to be involved with them more, so you can help them grow in Christ. Come and pray with us, and let's use that time that he's given you at this chapter in your life for him. So far we've got a sense of belonging, we've talked about a sense of growth, and the third feeling that I want to talk about is there was, in the early church, there was a sense of reverent joy. Reverent joy. Look at verse 43. It says, everyone was filled with awe. So people realized God is working here. There's miracles happening. It's amazing. It's awesome. The literal word that says there's a sense of awe, it means fear. Sense of fear. Like, whoa, God is doing something here. He's working miracles. This is beyond our control. People are getting saved. The Holy Spirit is transforming our hearts and shaping us into this worshiping, loving, growing community. It's astounding. It's like, whoa, you know, it's a sense of awe. And then look at verses 46 and 47. It said, they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God. So their hearts were full of joy. That the Greek word that's used here for joy refers to an exuberant shout. So, you can shout if you want. Okay, and it's sincere. It's a joyful and sincere hearts. So it's not sarcastic. It's not hypocritical. They're truly joyful because of the grace God has shown them in Christ. He has been so good to me. I'm overflowing with joy. It's a deep, a deep lasting joy. It's not the changing emotions of, like being in a good mood or a bad mood, or it's like a deep joy that's overflowing. I'm like so thankful to God. So put that all together. What feeling should you have in a church? Well, church should not be dull, and it shouldn't be silly. It should be reverent and serious, but also joyful and exuberant. So there's something important that's going on here. It's God's work. It's meaningful. It's significant. And it's wonderful and amazing. So when we're together also, we should feel reverent joy. How does it feel to be part of Jesus' church? How does it feel to be a forgiven people, to have the Holy Spirit among us? How does it feel to be connected to your brothers and sisters in Christ? There's a sense of belonging that we're taken care of and that we're needed here. There's a sense of growth so that we're active and participating in the work that only God can do. And then there's a sense of reverent joy. And my prayer is that this will be true for us in Calvary Chapel in Canterbury. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this picture of your church. We pray that you would do the same work among us, and that there would be the same feeling here, that we would be up to the same things they were up to, busy about them, but and also that there would be the same feeling and the same sense of community, belonging, growth, and joy. We ask you to do that work among us today. And we want to be open to what you want to do here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.